Authority. For some, that word brings security. For others, it brings suspicion. We've seen it misused in government, workplaces, even churches. But what if spiritual authority is not about control, but is about partnership with God? What if the power to heal, to set captives free, and to bring order out of chaos doesn't come from titles or positions, but from intimacy with Jesus? Today, we're looking at growing in spiritual authority and exploring specifically how authority flows through each of the fivefold gifts: the apostolic, prophetic, pastoral, teaching, and evangelistic. And we'll ask, how can leaders today walk in authority that is rooted in Christ and aligned with His kingdom? It's all right here, right now, and only on the Five Gifts Podcast.
You're listening to the Five Gifts Podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. Once again, it's great to be with you. For us, it's Monday, but for you, it could be at some other point during the week. But we're glad that you've joined us. And today we're talking about the theme of spiritual authority in the fivefold gifts. You know, we're not going to talk about anything else but the fivefold gifts, but we like to contextualize different issues of ministry and development in your leadership and ministry in the body of Christ in the context of fivefold leadership, because we believe that's the model that we find in the New Testament. And there's a lot of misunderstanding about those gifts, and we try to bring some clarity and focus on what that can look like in the expression of Jesus's gifts through your life and your local church. So as we get started today, I want to just, first of all, introduce Charles. I know he's had a big weekend, and so Charles, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Bruce, good to see you, and good to be with everybody here on the podcast today. Yeah, great send-off weekend. Our oldest daughter left, actually leaving this morning early. We dropped her off at the airport at 7 o'clock, and she's flying to Ecuador. She'll study for the fall semester in Ecuador and doing an internship there as well. She's a social work major and really feels compelled to work with victims of human trafficking. And so she's going to get a lot of experience with that, working with a ministry and a home there. And so we're excited for her. Not thrilled about her being that far away, but I guess as she grows up, we have to grow up a little bit too as her parents. And so kind of licking my wounds a little bit this morning, but nonetheless, excited to be here and just see what the Lord has for us as we talk about spiritual authority.
Well, we're excited to see what God is doing in her life. And I know I'm biased because she's my niece, but I just see the touch of God on her life, and excited for this opportunity that has actually fallen, I think, just a string of opportunities the Lord has opened up for her. And so we're excited about that. And of course, our listeners to the podcast, you know that Charles and I love ministry. And it's not just because we're called to ministry. I think it's just a passion we have. And so we really take interest in helping people grow in their ministry, their servant leadership. And so obviously we're going to talk about that today. I also want to just say something as we jump into this. The topic of spiritual authority has come under heavy scrutiny in the last few years because of a lot of visible, very much in the public examples of people failing when it comes to spiritual leadership. And spiritual authority often has become the central focus of what's happening in some of these ministries, with visible failure and allegations of spiritual abuse. So I thought it would be helpful today for Charles and I to talk a little bit about spiritual authority and what it should look like in servant leadership. Remember, fivefold ministry doesn't exist in titles. It exists in the functions of Jesus. Let me say, with the functions of Jesus, it also exists in the character and the nature of Jesus. And being fallen people, we're learning to grow in the image of Christ and I think there's a heavy premium on leaders walking, not just in their gifting, but in that stream of Christ's nature in their life. There should be maturity. There should be, and not just a maturity that's based on knowledge, but setting the example in spirit and character. So we're excited to bring this up today. And as we get into today's material, I want to recommend a fantastic book. It's actually a book that's going to be part of our educational cohort. It's a book that's tucked into the required reading for our course on leadership development. It's a fantastic book by Robert Reimer. It's entitled Spiritual Authority. And there are about 10 principles of spiritual authority that we're going to interact with in that course. And I thought we could interact with them some today as it relates to fivefold ministry. Remember, authority is not automatic. Now, just because you have the position or the title or even the gifting, authority is not an automatic work of God in your life. It's grown through intimacy. It's grown through your identity and your integrity. And honestly, it really has so much to do with the alignment of your life and your focus and your faithfulness to God's kingdom and his values. So we're going to reflect on those and others, again, as they relate to the fivefold ministry. A couple of things I just want to lay out, two principles before we get started, because I think they're so universal, Charles, and that is that authority can and must be grown. Christians don't passively or automatically walk in power. Spiritual authority is increased through tested character and a faithful partnership with the Holy Spirit. I think of King David in the Old Testament. He was anointed as a young man, but he was tested before ever taking the throne. He was tested as a fugitive from King Saul. He was tested in confronting Goliath. He was even tested as a shepherd boy in the field, having to defend and protect his sheep against wild animals that were native to that area. So remember, titles don't grant authority. Character does. And character is something that's developed. And God is absolutely involved in your development as a spiritual leader, especially as it relates to your character. So remember that authority is something that we can develop, and it's something that God is going to develop in your life. The second thing to remember is that authority is rooted in intimacy. And the example that we have is the best example in all of Scripture when it comes to spiritual authority as relates to our intimacy with God. And that's what Jesus demonstrates in John 5:19, where he says, I'm only doing what I see the Father doing. Listen, real authority flows from closeness with God. So looking at those two principles, those are two of the principles in Reimer's book, and I think two principles that are absolutely essential to growing as a servant leader. So when you hear the word authority, though, do you think of control and power struggles, or do you picture love, freedom, and alignment with God's kingdom? Charles, start us off today with apostolic authority.
Well, apostolic leaders are essential to the body of Christ. So just a few principles to maybe think about and talk about with spiritual authority flowing through apostolic leaders and apostolic authority. Apostolic leaders pioneer. They cast vision. They govern. The apostolic gift has formational purpose for churches and for people as well. And so what you find as an apostolic leader is their authority is tested through obedience and alignment with kingdom values. So there is a testing period, and through that we discover, you know, how obedient. Through our obedience, through our alignment with kingdom values, that's where authority begins to increase, and it's where it begins to grow. And as Bruce said, authority must be grown. It's not just given, you know, in a care package. It has to be grown, has to be cultivated in the life of an apostolic leader. Again, Bruce talked about the example of David's wilderness years, of the testing, of the trial, of the things that he endured, that grew him, that developed him and matured him into this great apostolic leader. Another example would be We know him as the Apostle Paul, but Paul spent years in obscurity before apostolic fruitfulness was revealed in his life. You know, he has this phenomenal encounter on the road to Damascus, and not to retell that story, but it begins to unfold for him, and you see obedience in Paul's life, even from that story, following Jesus' instruction, and he begins this life of obedience, and then kind of disappears off the scene, and for years, it's just him and the Holy Spirit. He's learning, he's living this life out. And it is sheer obedience that Paul is demonstrating and modeling for us. And then we see again the apostolic fruitfulness that comes as a result of his being formed, his being tested, him being obedient through these years of formation. So authority has to be grown. It has to be it goes through a process of cultivation in the apostolic leader's life. Third principle to think about and to kind of consider is this: authority aligns with kingdom values. Authority aligns with kingdom values. So apostolic leaders can misuse position and authority for securing control, for preserving their position. But what we are absolutely convinced of here at the Five Gifts Podcast is this: real authority, it builds Christ's body. Real authority builds the body of Christ. Authority is for God's purposes. It's never for personal gain or for one's control. Jesus used his authority to heal, to deliver, to restore, and to announce the kingdom. In fact, he even refused to call in angels at his trial and crucifixion. So likewise, our authority must be stewarded with humility, with mercy, and obedience to the Spirit. So what a great point to ponder and reflect on, pastor or leader, as you think about the authority, the position that you're leading from. Is your authority, does it align with kingdom values, or is your authority being used to prop you up? And to build your kingdom? Our authority as apostolic leaders must be in alignment and in agreement with kingdom values. Next principle would be this: authority is tested and proven in obedience. So think about Abraham offering his son Isaac. What a crucial test and proving grounds that was. And so when we think about that story, Abraham offering Isaac as a sacrifice, what we see is this: authority develops when leaders obey God in the hard things. And so if we're going to be apostolic leaders, then you just know part of leadership is navigating difficult situations, making difficult decisions, having difficult and hard conversations. Leadership is not for the faint of heart. And as an apostolic leader, our authority will develop as we obey God in the hard things. And so it's tested and proven in obedience. And then faith is the channel of spiritual authority. Faith is the channel of spiritual authority. What that means is this: for apostolic leadership, faith is expressed in forming and building the vision. So apostles carry authority to establish foundations, to govern, and to release new works. But that authority only flows where faith channels it. An apostolic leader may see the potential for a new church plant or for a new kingdom initiative. And by faith, he or she steps out before the resources are visible. Their authority to gather leaders, to steward finances, and to govern grows as their faith channels God's authority into reality. So just a few thoughts about apostolic authority. So here's a question that can be good to consider, but also serves as a good segue for us today. If apostolic leaders gain authority through costly obedience, how do prophetic leaders gain authority to speak with clarity and conviction?
Yeah, Charles, when I think of the pairing of apostolic leadership and prophetic leadership in the body of Christ, you know, we say time and time again that those are gifts that are not more important in the body of Christ, but there is a sequence in how Jesus seems to use the gifts. And so when it comes to initiating new works, there's the front end of vision and hearing from the Lord and finding out what the design of this work is to look like. And so naturally, I think the apostolic gift and the prophetic gift, they work hand in hand. And so there's a lot of similarities, but there's also, I think, some important things that are maybe more particular to prophetic leadership and how it expresses authority. I want to say, you know, with all the gifts, all of these principles can apply that we've culled from some of Reimer's book, but I think particularly to the prophetic gift. Remember, prophets exercise authority by speaking from God's heart. You have a power and an authority in your life in prophetic ministry that flows from intimacy with God. I mean, the prophetic gift is that one of hearing from the Lord, of seeing His activity, and so intimacy is so huge there. I'd also say that not only intimacy with God, but living out holiness and experiencing inner healing are a part of that. Let's start with intimacy with God, because authority is certainly rooted in intimacy with God. Deep relationship with God is the wellspring of power. The image that Jesus gives us is the spring flowing from deep within. Those who believe on Him, He promises the gift of the Holy Spirit as a continual life-giving flow, a river of living water. The truth is the more you know God, the more you experience His presence, the more you, I believe, can say, like the Apostle Paul, I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. I think the more you're going to reflect His heart and act in His name. You think of Jesus, who didn't only do what He saw the Father doing, He spoke what He heard the Father saying. So our authority flows from proximity relationship with the Father, not from personal strength, not from formulas, not from leadership techniques. And I just want to say, I think the more we lean into those things of our own character and own nature, there's a real tendency to let authority come across as manipulation. And man, I cringe at the thought of anyone thinking that I would use authority to manipulate and leverage people onto an agenda that is forced and not coming from a like-heartedness and agreement. I mean, I really think that, you know, one of the strengths of the body of Christ that no other organization in the world has is that when we agree together, when we work together, even when the whole world might say we're wrong, where do we find Jesus? He's in our midst. Right? He says, if you're doing anything in My name where two or three are gathered, I'm there. And so I think, you know, when it comes to leading with spiritual authority, when we're walking in intimacy with God, I think that's crucial to us experiencing the release of the Lord's spiritual authority and favor. And remember, Jesus modeled that kind of dependence. Paul modeled it. And I think prophets hear clearly only when they're close to the Lord and they've cultivated a relationship with the Father. I also just want to say on this next point, inner healing is essential to authority. Walking in personal wholeness. And when I say wholeness, I'm not talking about perfection. I'm not talking about that you've got it all together when no one else does. What I'm saying is that as a leader, you're the product of a broken world and you've got your own issues. And if you're honest, I think every leader at some point is going to own up to their own moments of insecurity. And, you know, sometimes that's coming from a place of unresolved issues. It could be an unresolved matter of forgiveness, an unresolved wound where you've been hurt. It can come from some personal weakness, and I don't just mean sin or an aspect of your flesh. I'm just saying, I know in my life I've got an eye issue that's been something in my life. I've felt the tendency to overcompensate at times, but I think there's a pattern for spiritual leadership to lean into the Lord's healing, to lean into the Lord's perspective, and to learn to reframe experiences in life and remember that when you were being hurt or when someone was exercising an abusive authority over you, maybe as an associate in the ministry, or maybe when you were going through a difficult time and it brought a limp into your life, that remember to reframe that. Jesus was there with you. Jesus was walking through that with you. His heart is toward you. And I think it's important that spiritual leaders learn to appropriate the inner healing of Jesus. And something that Reimer integrates in his book, Spiritual Authority, especially on this point, is a book that I could also recommend called Soul Care. And there's a model in his book for leading to personal freedom and deliverance. And I think I would recommend his writing. I'd recommend Neil Anderson's writings on coming into personal wholeness and healing, because I think that's so essential for spiritual leaders. Charles, I think my example from the Old Testament is Jacob, when he's wrestling with God, but he doesn't walk away from that experience without a limp. I think every true leader has that aspect in their life. You talked about our lives being tested in obedience. I think, you know, part of God bringing forth our best selves it goes through a process of refining and testing, and you're going to find that every spiritual leader walks with a real sense of their own self, and that self has got to acknowledge that we're not perfect. So I think to live in a habit of practical daily and consistent things like confession and repentance and leaning into the Lord for His healing and His touch in our lives, I think that's absolutely essential to becoming better releasers of spiritual authority. And one more thing, I think, especially in the prophetic, is unconfessed sin. Remember that as in prophetic leadership, you're trying to cast a sense of what the Lord wants. You're trying to speak with, in a sense of calling people to a deeper alignment with the Lord. Well, we've got to live in alignment with the Lord. So anytime we have unconfessed sin in our life, unconfessed sin undermines authority. And so in prophetic leadership, when you're constantly in front of people, or whether you're preaching the word, whether you're leading worship or leading prayer, or saying, we've got to align ourselves with God. This is what He's wanting to do. This is the plan of God. This is the activity of God over our church. Well, I think we have to be honest and live in that kind of alignment in our own lives. And so anytime we live with unconfessed sin, we're undermining our authority. So we need to, I think, practice regular confession. We have to resist secret sin. I think we have to it's more incumbent upon us to deal with issues of pride and self-dependence. The Old Testament example of Samson really comes to the surface for me on this. Samson had tremendous anointing, tremendous favor from God, and yet it was his own flaws. It was his own unresolved issues of sin and error that brought his downfall. And so remember, hidden compromise can rob prophetic credibility. You contrast true prophetic authority, where you have Elijah on Mount Carmel, and yet you have the false prophets in Jeremiah's day who were speaking from their own imaginations and desires. And listen, we can subvert the activity of God and His leadership through our lives if we're not dealing with those issues of intimacy, inner healing, and unconfessed sin. So we've gone through two of the gifts. Charles spoke about the apostolic nature of leadership. I've dealt with the prophetic. Remember, prophetic leaders speak with weight and vision. But Charles, shepherds lead with presence. So how does spiritual authority show up in the shepherding caring focus of pastors.
Well, you're absolutely right, Bruce. The pastoral leader has to be present in order for spiritual authority to flow through that gift. Here's what I mean. Pastoral leaders exercise authority through compassion, through credibility, and by walking with people who are in pain. And the common thread through all of those is that you're present. The leader is present in individuals' lives. You can't show compassion if you're not present. You can't gain credibility with people if you're not present. And you can't walk with people in pain. I mean, to walk with them is to literally to be present with them and to walk and help navigate through painful situations and through wounds that come. So pastoral leaders must be present because that's how spiritual authority is released and flows through the pastoral gift. Another principle to consider would be this, is that identity precedes activity. Now that's a hard one to grasp and to process in the American church, but I'm going to say it again. Identity precedes activity. So ministry effectiveness flows from a secure identity as a beloved child of God, not from striving or performance. Man, that really kind of shatters the achievement model that so many pastors in the American church are bound by, myself included. Ministry effectiveness comes from secure identity as a beloved child of God, not from my performance, not from what I achieve. And that really unlocks something in the pastoral gift as well. When we know that we're ministering from a place of that I'm a son, I'm a daughter, I'm a child of God, that my place in Christ is not determined on how well my last sermon went or how bad the last sermon was, but my place in Christ is determined because I am a child, I'm a son of God, I'm a daughter of God. That really shifts how we think. That really shifts how we lead in this pastoral gift. A broken sense of identity often leads to seeking power to validate ourselves. But true authority rises when we minister from love and not for love. I just think about how many times have I been guilty of trying to function in this pastoral gift whether I'm going into a hospital room or if I'm praying healing prayer over someone, just thinking, okay, am I doing this because I'm going to serve the person from a posture of love and care and compassion, or am I going there to achieve something? Am I going to put a notch in my belt? Am I going to check a box of achievement? And when the pastoral gift is functioning from a place of love, of compassion, of serving, of healing, of ministering to people, that's when it's elevated. That's when spiritual authority flows through this gift, and the tide rises. Listen, the body of Christ is built. Spiritual authority is released into the body of Christ when leaders through the pastoral gift function from this place of servant leadership. So identity precedes activity. Next one to think about is inner healing is essential to authority. Inner healing is essential to authority. Don't forget what Bruce said earlier. Look, we can't walk in full authority while living with unresolved wounds, unforgiveness, or even sin. Corrie Ten Boom famously said, "Forgiveness is setting the prisoner free, and the prisoner was me." In her book, The Hiding Place, Corey recounts her struggle with forgiveness after enduring immense pain from the guards' actions during her imprisonment. She realized that holding on to bitterness would only keep her imprisoned, while forgiveness is what truly offered liberation. As she took the guard's hand, she experienced God's love, which flooded her being. And it was this experience that taught her that forgiveness is not about excusing the wrongdoer, but about releasing oneself from resentment and hatred. It's an act of the will, empowered by God's love, that leads to healing and freedom. Next thing I want to mention here is this. Pastors can't lead people to healing that they have not embraced. Pastors can't lead healing to people they haven't embraced. And so pastors, I would just encourage you, take a moment. Those of you that really function in this pastoral gift and work in this pastoral gift, take a moment to reflect and spend some time in prayer, asking the Holy Spirit to illuminate for you. Where are some hidden areas of that healing needs to take place? Where are some kind of the dark sides of leadership? Where are those present in your life? Allow the Holy Spirit to come as a comforter, as a counselor, and begin to speak life and bring inner healing into you. Because again, pastors can't lead people to healing that they haven't embraced. Next one would be this: authority exercised with compassion. Authority must be exercised with compassion. Jesus healed the hurting, and he fed the multitudes not out of showmanship, but out of compassion. And so I've got all kinds of thoughts and images going through my mind right here, and I'll try to refrain from sharing any of those. But the pastoral gift, it exercises authority with compassion, not for building one's reputation. Look, this isn't a three-ring circus that we're leading. This is the ministry of Christ. This is the character of Christ, as Bruce talked about earlier, the fruit of the Spirit, the character of Christ, the ministry of the Spirit, the gifts, the spiritual gifts of Christ. And so, these are to serve people. These are to help people. These are to bring healing to people. This is not so that we can build our reputation. We exercise this authority and these gifts from a place of compassion. Jesus was moved to tears as he looked out over the city, out of compassion. It was compassion. As we look out over our congregations, as we survey the communities and the cities that we're called and established there to lead and to reach. Listen, what's coming to mind? Is it tears of compassion, or is it dreams and aspirations of greater stages and platforms? I would say that if you're going to lead as a pastoral leader and allow spiritual authority to be released through the gift, it has to be from a place of compassion. So if pastors lead with compassion and credibility, Bruce, how do teachers exercise authority without slipping into pride or just giving out head knowledge?
Yeah, I'm rather excited to talk about the authority of the teacher, because that I've seen that that's one of my gifts. But Charles, if I could just back up for a minute, I think I need to revisit the idea of authority as exercised with compassion. And you mentioned Jesus weeping over the city of Jerusalem. We can point to him feeling compassion for the multitudes when he saw them like sheep without a shepherd. That's such a crucial thing there. And I'd like to expand on it a little bit, because as a spiritual leader, you're not just to hear what the Lord is saying and see what he's doing, but I think there is a place in your life for feeling what he feels, where you're beginning to experience the motivation that God has. I believe walking with intimacy with God is about beginning to tap into what the Lord feels. I don't want to get too touchy-feely here, but clearly, I'm never going to be more like Jesus if I don't begin to have his inner world inside of me. It's not just modeling what he does, but it's about thinking the way he thinks, and it's about feeling some of the things that he feels and letting those prompt us in life. So it's a really great point on that. I don't think that's something we can spend enough time on, honestly. But let's talk about the teacher. And clearly, like we've said, all of these principles can apply to all of the gifts. We're just trying to bring a few within that might be a little more specific to these certain gifts. And remember, teachers carry authority when they communicate truth that transforms people, not just informs people. Remember how vital the teaching gift is to growing believers in discipleship and equipping them for ministry. I mean, the teaching gift is the hands-on gift when it comes to the spiritual formation of believers in the local church. And I think we have to revisit intimacy, the idea that authority is rooted in intimacy. Now, Jesus taught with authority because his life matched his words. And contrast that with a more academic a teaching. I know I'm guilty of teaching things because I had to get prepared for a message, a Bible class. And I'm looking at, when Charles and I do podcasts, it's very easy to lean into the informational side of teaching rather than listening to what the Holy Spirit is applying in the moment. And I think there's a real point to be made there when it comes to preaching. I appreciate expository preaching as much as anybody, but also realize that my goal in being an expositor of the Word is not just to teach the Bible to people, but teach people the Bible. And I need to be focused on, what is the Spirit emphasizing in this text, in this time, in this season, for this audience? And so I think you only get there if you're living in a life that's rooted in intimacy with the Lord. I'm reminded of what 1 John says, and this is John, the apostle that he said when he introduces himself in the gospel, he's the apostle that Jesus loved. John lived with that deep identity of saying, Jesus knew me. I knew him. I saw him. I handled him. I saw the Word made flesh and experienced him dwelling among us. We know in 1 John 2, verse 4, John says this. He says, "He who says I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." So living from a place where we're patterning in our life after Jesus, we can only say we know him and we have intimacy with him when we're beginning to reflect his life in us. And so definitely the teacher has to live rooted in intimacy with Jesus. And the second point, I want to echo what Charles said earlier about pastoral leadership, because it also applies to the teacher, that unconfessed sin can leak, can undermine authority. Hidden flaws can weaken our spiritual strength. And remember, to truly lead, we need to live from a place of honesty and authenticity. Authenticity means being pure. It doesn't mean being perfect, but living in the light. So leaders in particular should resist secret sins, pride, self-reliance, things like that. The third point, I think, when it comes to the teacher, again, relating to some of Reimer's principles, is that faith is the channel of authority. Faith is not wishful thinking. It's acting on God's word and promises, believing that he will move. And Jesus marveled at great faith, and he often linked healing and deliverance to it. So faith activates authority when it's directed by divine prompting. I think of Peter going to Cornelius' house and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that ensued. What a tremendous act of obedience and faith on Peter's part. Peter had vision. He heard the Lord instructing him to go to Cornelius' house. But Peter had to step out of the door and step into a Gentile home that was something he was going to catch a lot of flack for in his culture. But Peter doing that brought just the release of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I think teaching many times can become an informational exercise rather than a transformational exercise. And I think in spiritual authority, you're going to find that your spiritual authority increases as a teacher when you really look for those channels of faith to open up to express it. So we've been through four gifts. Charles, again, teaching forms disciples, but the kingdom also needs that outward thrust. So how does authority empower evangelists to proclaim the gospel with boldness?
I think it comes down to this. Evangelists exercise authority to reach and to gather God's lost sons and daughters and to bring people into new life. So again, like Bruce said, there's an outward thrust. There's an external reaching to gather and to bring people in a new life. So let's revisit what Bruce shared with us about teachers for a moment. So then just try to consider how this applies to the evangelistic gift as well. Faith becomes the channel to exercise authority. Faith isn't just about hoping for the best. It's about taking action based on God's word and promises. It's about believing that he can save anyone, no matter how lost. Jesus was amazed by people with great faith and often connected healing and deliverance to that. Faith gives us authority when we follow God's guidance. Think about, for a moment, Paul going to Philippi on a dream. He has a dream, he has this vision, and he takes off and he goes. But he endures unjust imprisonment, and he leads the Philippian jailer and his whole family to Christ. Think about that faith. It wasn't just, Lord, help him. I had this dream. Lord, just touch him. And help them. It was. I've sensed this calling. There's a drawing, a compelling to go. And what does Paul do? He takes action based on God's word and based on God's promises. He's believing that God can save, that God can heal, God can deliver, and he steps out in faith and he goes. And now it doesn't turn out the way that Paul probably originally thought it was. But how often, if ever, does it turn out the way that we think it's going to turn out? It is a stepping out in faith and a continued faith walk in the journey of that, yes, God is guiding me, and the result may not have happened exactly the way I thought it would or wanted it to, but I'm still following God in this faith encounter. And the end result was, even through unjust imprisonment that Paul endured, and he was doing great work for God, but yet finds himself in prison. But then he leads the Philippian jailer and his whole family to Christ. That's spiritual authority being released through the gift of the evangelist, through that evangelistic gift. It is faith now becoming the channel to exercise authority. None of that happens if Paul does not have faith to step out and follow this dream, this vision that he receives. None of it happens if there's not faith present that compels Paul to take initial steps. So faith becomes the channel to exercise authority. Another point to consider would be authority is demonstrated in power encounters. Authority is demonstrated in power encounters. Again, we're talking about through the evangelistic gift here, encounters with demonic forces, with sickness, or spiritual oppression. These are our contexts where authority is demonstrated. It's not just declared. It's demonstrated. Reimer emphasizes boldness in confronting evil. Look, authority is not passive. It takes spiritual initiative to push back darkness. And if we are going to function in the evangelistic gift, if spiritual authority is going to be released through the evangelistic gift, there has to be boldness and there has to be a dynamic within our lives that faith is there. And because of faith, now authority is being demonstrated in these contexts where power encounters push back darkness. We have to embrace that. This is who we are, and this is what we're doing. We are advancing the kingdom of God, and we are building the church. And in order to do that, we have to push darkness back at every turn. And that only comes as spiritual authority is being released through the evangelistic gift. All right, before I start preaching here, let's go to the next one. Authority must be exercised with compassion. Man, there has to be compassion there. So true authority is always wrapped in love. Jesus wept. He touched. He healed. He restored. Again, Reimer warns against becoming harsh, formulaic, or even detached. The truth is, those with authority, we must remain tender-hearted, listening to God and the needs of the people. So on one side, you know, you've just spent the money and bought the latest, greatest program that's working on the other side of the country. That's just really working. And so you've maybe the money's not really there in the budget, but you've gone ahead and you spent the money, and so there's some stress there now, and maybe you're casting the vision for this new evangelism initiative that's working for somebody else really well, and you just thought I'll take that and we'll copy that here in this context. And but there just doesn't seem to be as much buy-in, and now the stress really begins to build because you're thinking, well, we spent money that we really didn't have, and now nobody's kind of buying in. But bless God, we're going to do this, whether you like it or not. You know, kind of, are you gonna become detached? Are you gonna become harsh? Are you gonna become formulaic in trying to push your authority? Or what about the opposite approach of being tender-hearted, listening? How does God want to release this evangelistic gift? How does God want to meet the needs of the people in the community, and building a team around that, building an evangelistic team and ministry around what God is saying about around what God is wanting to do, around how God is wanting to reap in the harvest fields of the community you're serving. Maybe that's a better approach, but again, that can only occurs when authority is being exercised with compassion. Sorry, Bruce, I got up on my soapbox again, but that was just too good of an opportunity to let pass by. So my apologies.
Oh, no need to apologize. Passion can be a beautiful thing, Charles. You did a great job on that. I just want to remind everyone that, as we've said, authority is not automatic. This whole podcast is about being intentional when it comes to growing in spiritual authority. Remember that it's grown in intimacy. It's tested during times of obedience. It's rooted in identity. It's purified by inner healing. It has to be aligned with God's kingdom. And yet it can be expressed uniquely in each of the fivefold gifts. Let me encourage you, wherever God has called you, whether it's in apostolic ministry, more prophetic ministry, pastoral giftings, the responsibilities and the giftings of the teacher or the evangelist, remember, he wants you to walk in authority that really is anchored in Christ, and especially his love and truth. So we want you to take some of the things that we've shared today to heart. We hope that it's been informative for you. And we want you to engage. We want you to be thinking, which of the fivefold gifts do you identify with most? How have you seen spiritual authority show up in your life? Please share those answers in the comments. We'd love to hear how maybe you're thinking and processing some of the things that we are. And begin to practice some of these steps this week. Take one step of faith that requires authority. Pray for someone. Speak a word of encouragement over someone. Begin to express the activity of God in your life through spiritual gifts. Share the gospel. And by all means, lead with boldness and courage. And please subscribe and share. If today's episode stirs something in you, subscribe to the Five Gifts podcast and share it with a leader in your circle. If you like the episode today, hit the like button. If you didn't like it, well, go ahead and hit the downvote button twice. And you can connect with us on social media for more spirit-led leadership resources. Visit thefivegifts.org for show notes and links. We'd also love to hear from you. You can reach out to us on social media or by email. And let us know what God is speaking to you about this time right now in your life. If you're ready for coaching, whether you lead a church, maybe a nonprofit, or you're in the marketplace leading a business or involved in a business and just trying to reflect Christ and begin to release some of the things that the Lord has deposited into your life and give those away to other people through leadership. Remember, we offer customized coaching for individuals and teams. That can include one-on-one coaching to clarify your personal call and strengthen your systems. It can also be coaching for team strategy sessions to align your leaders and your priorities with seasons of growth. Remember, you can subscribe to our podcast, but also schedule your free discovery call now at charlesrusselltraining.com or charlesrussellministries.com. You can also go to my website at coachingcardia.com. Again, spiritual authority isn't about control and position. It's about intimacy, integrity, and alignment with God's kingdom. And we encourage you to step into it and watch how God works through you. And we'll catch you next week with another power episode of the Five Gifts podcast.
Are you a spirit-filled minister ready to take the next step in your ministry training? The Servant Leaders Cohort will help you earn your BA, MA, or DMin. We offer in-person instruction in a small group learning environment that is affordably priced. Instruction happens in monthly two-day intensives in the Triad of North Carolina. Degrees are approved and conferred by Vision Christian Bible College and Seminary. You can earn your bachelor's in 2 years, a master's in 15 months, or a DMin in 18 to 24 months. For more information, go to fivegifts.org/SLC.
You've been listening to the Five Gifts podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments that give you a better grasp of your leadership style. And we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.